Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcast while driving. This time I'm again driving back from Katoomba to Glenbrook, as my son just got a bit confused with the time and ironing his shirt. It's one of these strange things in this modern day and age that you have a council, and he's working for the council in an admin training position. Very, very intelligent person, but just sort of got beaten around by university and the life and that type of stuff. But he's doing that, and one of the things that they do is they require him to iron his shirt. Well, he just does it anyway, and that all added up to being a little bit late. So I've driven him, and now I'm doing a podcast coming back. And I must apologize, the last podcast, I do pump them out. I'm focused on the production quality and getting them out there, and I suppose watching the audience dwindle as I don't podcast enough of the right stuff. Now, this particular podcast, I hope to cover the essence of, I suppose imposters might be the actual theme I want to talk about. So there is actually a clinical thing called the imposter syndrome. That is where you can, I'm just coming through here. This is one of the problems here. Even though I travel these roads time and time again, I have a little bit of difficulty remembering the bits and pieces of it. It's all okay because it's super foggy up here in Glenbrook. We're up the mountain, and so it's just the start of autumn. Is it? Yeah, start of autumn, and it's getting a bit wintry down here. Okay, what I was going to say was the imposter syndrome. Now, the interesting, I actually probably think I possibly suffer from the imposter syndrome. The imposter syndrome is where you have ability and you attribute it to good luck, other things outside, and you actually... I just nearly missed that. Sorry, it was just... It's coming along, mate. I'm actually on the freeway. Whoa, look at that. And it's rather difficult because it is thick fog. Yeah, look, the imposter syndrome, and that is where you've got ability, but your own belief system and this belief system around you doesn't recognize it. And so you feel that you're an imposter. Now, that's actually not the... I don't feel I'm in a social position. I actually don't feel the actual things that I do or produce are necessarily that worthy of high praise or they amount to much. I always feel I'm at the bottom. I've got to work up. I personally don't feel bad about it, but that apparently is part of the imposter syndrome. Now, subsequently with this neuro stuff, I've had lots of intelligence tests, aptitude tests, and look, there are problems here. I'm doing this all on hyperspeed. I'm at Lura already. And so the actual skill is there. Now, if you actually put it on the other side, that this is... Look, I feel I'm an imposter. There are people who are imposters and don't... Like, there's the reverse of the imposter theory. Now, there's people who... So the imposter theory is that you feel that you're an imposter, but you're not. Okay? That's the imposter theory. Syndrome. So it's a syndrome that you feel that you're an imposter and you're not. However, there is another thing of genuine imposters and people who are imposters but they don't feel they are imposters. And this is something I've come to in a little roundabout way, trying to put my finger on what it is to be a quantum physicist, and saying, oh, these people, the people who claim that they are quantum physicists aren't quite make the muster. And part of their process is explaining things that it's unattainable anyway. So it's, looking at it, I'll finish this, I'll have to get on top of this soon, is the thing that there are other realms where this, it's got a very close analogy to it. I didn't quite want to do that. Well, I've got a bit more of a loop here. It's very misty up here. I missed the turn off. Oh, my God, this is the Treasured Teapot Museum. Wow, bygone beauties. Oh, my God, that's a fantastic museum. It's got a teapot with a rabbit's head on top of it. That's something I'd like to take Celia to. But, oh, sorry, that's my daughter. There's this sort of overall grumpiness of my kids. Okay, so I'm doing a little bit longer than I expected. Come along here. I'm going through Lure a second time to get here. I won't miss the turn off this time. I'll have to go just around the block. Yeah, so the other realm of people who I feel a bit imposters are military imposters. And when you describe a military imposter, you feel a bit more relaxed. They're someone you can sort of laugh at, and you can sort of see, and there's a reason. And a military imposter is someone who might be in an armchair. They may tell you, look, they're not, they haven't been there, but they've had an uncle there, and they're an expert of the conditions, and they'll tell you stories, military stories, as if they're there, and caricatures, but they've never been there. And they mightn't claim to know things, but there's a series of characteristics. One is that they will know only superficially, or they'll know the cultural way of describing a... now we'll get in this little... this little thing. They'll describe things as though they were there. And they'll describe things in a way which is sort of a flawed understanding of how the weaponry works, or how actual conflict works. And I'll get back to you on this story really soon. Okay, back again after the little break. I stopped off and... oh, God. Are you going to let me through? Sorry, there's this car turning left into the small driveway out of here, and let me through. Yeah, look, the it's about to describe a real military imposter. Now, the imposter, I thought to myself, what exactly is the imposter syndrome? This is someone who actually does have the ability, doesn't believe it's them, they believe it's circumstance, they don't have the ego which goes with it. And surely what could be the problem with that? Because that just means that you've got people with the ability with less ego. Surely less ego is a great thing. It's the problem is, it's sort of like any team. You can get a team, but the team works in training, but it won't work in practice unless you put it under stress and various things. It all comes undone. Now, what happens here is you put a group of people here, you get a whole group of people with imposter syndrome. That is the ideal situation for people who are genuine imposters. So, that is, who claim it but don't have the ability or don't have the experience. And I begin to think, my God, that's part of the syndrome. Is it's a two point thing, is that it doesn't come to a crisis until you have a functional group, some with imposter syndrome, some actual imposters, and they come together. And when it comes to the distribution of wealth or training or or feedback appropriate. The imposters get, you know, sort of take from the people with the imposter syndrome. So, just that's a, not a major revelation, but this is like I'm a slow thinker, slowly working out. I think that's the real issue here. Now, one of the things is that as quantum physicists, there I began to identify these four areas, and I'll just go through the four areas that they're not absolute ingredients, they're just indicators, they're sort of domains. Now the first domain, so the domain one is physics and mathematical competence. And that's basically, I hate to say it, that's been able to handle three-dimensional, multi-dimensional differential equations and algebraic numbers and get into it. Okay, you've got all, it's all like piano. You've got grade one up to concert pianists and then you've got people who can't even play the piano. Okay, so there's one of the things as a quantum physicist has to have a degree of that, and they might be able to hammer out chopsticks on the piano, but at least they know that's the area to go. So that's domain one. Domain two is abandonment of crazy ideas. This is of non-quantum physics, and so this would be the idea in quantum physics would be inevitably people discuss quantum tunneling, and they say classically this is like a brick. You throw a ball at a brick wall and it suddenly appears on the opposite side of the brick wall, and this is this type of stuff, and this in an object disappearing from one point and reappearing on the other point instantaneously. This is just bad physics. This is incompetence. And so this is by the piano analogy, someone who can hear someone who doesn't wince when something's played badly. They just, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that's the piano playing, and it's this person hammering out really crazily bad music. Now the third domain is competence with models. That is, being able to use a small fragment of a model in order to have a language of models. So I might refer to a line of a poem, part of the Iliad, and just bring up a general sensation, and people can take it all very lightly. Say on the opposite side, people will think of the entire piece, play the entire piece, you know, music note for note, and not be able to do it. So it's sort of like a model. It's called model literacy. I suppose it would be the equivalent of music literacy, in a way that music literacy is not just knowing the piece of music end to end. It's knowing its context and what aspect of it is important to take forward. So that's domain three. Domain four is being able to conceptualize yourself and being able to understand quantum physics. And there seems to be a dearth of people. There's a lot of people who can conceptualize it, and this is, seems to be the lights have changed. Wentworth Falls. So it goes Lura, Wentworth Falls, and then I think there's a bit of gap. I'll tell you the next city after that. Well, there's a fairly big tanker of some sort which is slowly accelerating out in front of me, and I've got cars just beaming off to my... Alright, I've got my poor little... Oh, mate. Yeah. So there's a... We all want to go in front of this... petrol tanker, which is taking some time. Now it's getting up some speed, so you wonder why you're doing it. Okay, so the fourth domain is being able to picture yourself and really more other people playing. Now, the people who have, you know, your typical person and the bad concert person is, you know, I'm a player and I can play well, but the person next to me, they're dreadful. That's why I should go forward. They tend to volunteer themselves because they can conceptualize themselves playing and not other people playing. It's not so much conceptualizing that you understand. It's not a personal or a private thing. It's a conceptualization of a generalized understanding that this can be normalized. And in terms of music playing, this is, firstly, what is it? They can't play the music. They can't recognize bad music, you know, bad composition. They aren't literate in the actual composition, the subtleties of pieces of music as representative of this genre. I don't know, the modern ones. And finally, they have a belief that there's this gift that they can have it, but no one else can understand it. It's the understanding of their conceptualization, their belief in doing it. Now, in terms of personal point, just on that fourth domain, you have to, in order to be in a position to understand things, you have to have a concept of you eventually understanding and the community of understanding. So if you just were walking around and just saw a high jump section and you just walk around, you'd say, what is it? But you have to have a few things around you to convert your attitude to it. One is that you have to think that one day there'll be a stadium and a prize ceremony. There's a context to it, a social context. And also that you can train for it. And if at first you run up and you don't get over the top, well, that's okay, because you're in the process of training for the big event. And in essence, this is a missing thing in quantum physics. There's no idea that anyone, that you yourself or anyone else can actually train for the big event. It's some sort of mystery thing. And this is where it's all in disarray. And coming back to the view is that, well, I have some understanding of quantum physics. You call me like a grade 2 recreational piano player of quantum mechanics. But it's taken me, here's Bullaburra. It's taken me a while to actually tease apart some of the problems with it. And so there's that the music player, there's the imposter and imposter syndrome mix. So imposters by themselves don't do well. Where they do damage is that where you form a group of imposters, imposter syndrome, and the actual imposters feed off imposters. Imposters have to find people with imposter syndrome to feed off. It's sort of this pretty amazing group. And in quantum mechanics, you'll go through there. So we'll just go through quantum mechanics, the view of it. There's domain one. The people have to be able to have some ability to do the higher order maths. That is, an equation of 1 plus 1 equals 2, and another thing would be that's an equation of numbers. Quantum mechanics is an equation of solutions, so quadratic plus cubic equals, well, in this case another cubic, but one solution plus another solution equals this, or what actually is that an integer times a solution equals that solution times into a function. That is the Schrodinger wave equation. And so it's functions. It's to do with wave functions. And so you've got to have that basic level to go ahead. And there's certain things you wouldn't say if you understood that. There's certain things you wouldn't say. That's the main one. The main two is certain things you wouldn't say again because they're stupid. One would be the classical particles going through a classically impossible barrier and then saying and leaving it at that. There's certain things that people would say which are just absolutely right to drive you mad. And these are characteristics of a general quantum physicist. And what I'm saying is that you've got this imposter syndrome, imposter thing coming up. And so this is a major thing. Then you can come up with models. Now, this is so critical. This is absolutely critical for distinguishing between a genuine quantum physicist and an imposter, is the understanding that the models that we use to communicate necessarily break down for quantum physics. That is, an electron does not have a moving part. This has no moving parts. It's got shape, it's got things attributed with, it's got things which have the property of momentum, but no mass and movement of that. It's got no miniature part of it which is actually moving. It's got the property of angular momentum, but it does not revolve. It's got the property of magnetic field, but it's got no electric current within it. It's got pure property. And that means that this is a profound thing. This is where your chicken and the egg comes along, you know, the model and the property, the model and property and stuff like that comes across. But we have a general thing. It ends on the property. It ends on the property for which there is no model. And this is the subtlety. Now, if you can't discuss... slowing down here. It's okay. It's actually a bright day today. It's a glorious day in Australia. What can I say? They've shut down the heavy industry. So thank you very much, China. They've moved all the pollution up to China. And so Australia is... So there used to be sometimes a smog over Sydney from Wollongong. The wind would blow in and it'd be a temperature inversion. And occasionally you have a temperature inversion, but the air is absolutely crystal clear. And this is some of the things that people dress up in period costume and stuff like that. And the colours are so clear, the air is so clear, it's so pure, and everything is washed down with rain. Now, apparently New Zealand is even cleaner. This is a pretty clean place. Adelaide, even though it's dusty, was spotlessly clean. And you know, sort of country towns can be spotlessly clean. Getting back to it, we've got the third domain, which is the subtlety of models. Now, in certain areas, it really doesn't matter, but in quantum physics, it's absolutely essential because you go off starting with carrying forward a piece of junk parasitic model into the next explanation, and before long you have a parody of reason, really a parody of physics. So a lot of people, when they teach quantum physics, teach a parody of it. And the third region, I've got to slow bloody well down to 40 kilometres an hour here. There's a school zone. Now, for a school kid to get on the road here, quite honestly, they'd have to have a pole vault. But, you know, it's just the geometry. There is a school coming up here, of course. And so it's so many metres either side. So they want you to slow down ahead so you're not suddenly slowing down. You know, you're seeing Hazelbrook Public School. So we're up at Hazelbrook. Oh, getting down to 40, keeping on there. The police, you've got no tolerance. Like, if you are 42 kilometres, you're booked. This is quite true. I won't go into it. The other one is this visualization. Now, a lot of people can't understand quantum physics because they can't visualize themselves understanding it. And the machinery is not in place to explain things to them because socially we haven't built it up for them. And there's a sporting analogy, but another thing is that a genuine quantum physicist, I feel, discusses this problem. How come people don't understand it? My God, that car's in major problems. I think they've got a handbrake on or something like that. There's smoke coming out of the back of the car. Okay. Yeah, these are characteristics. These are, again, are not definite characteristics. These are just sort of signposts that there are problems. And in terms of this entire imposter syndrome situation, it can't function with coming up to work, the boss, and the boss comes dressed in casual clothes and thongs and says, "I'm a bloody idiot, follow me." There's a whole charade to keep things in place, and so people have a lot of difficulty walking down this four-zone imposter syndrome situation, because that's the majority of people, it's their life. And if you start talking about it, people say, "Oh, just it works perfectly well. The barbecue, my Christmas party, my pay rise, everybody's socially locked into ideas." But that's the entire aspect of culture, and that is culture is locking into ideas. Some of them pull us forward. Some cultural ideas are new and pull us forward, get the best of us. Other cultural ideas, equally well, hold us back. So there's I was trying to say, the cultural ideas of the Aztecs, as they form a package deal. You can't put in a turbocharger on a Model T. It just doesn't work. You can put in comfy seats, cushions, and bells and stuff like that, but you can't actually do fundamental engineering on a cultural system. So cultural systems have positives and negatives, and one of the negatives of our current cultural system is that we've evolved one section of it to take advantage of quantum physics, that is build computers and internet and all this stuff based on quantum physics. Now, can I say, the optical fiber is so small that there is no, light doesn't bounce around in the core. The light is guided as a quantum wave in it. That is, if I measure the light across it, it forms a Gaussian of the, it looks like a hydrogen atom of light going through it. We've evolved our culture to benefit from quantum mechanics, but we haven't evolved our culture to actually physically understand it. And I'm just, I'm expressing this for the first time, and sort of I'm making discoveries about the imposter, and the imposter syndrome balance. I think you can do some sort of theorem associated with it. Now, one of the things I wanted to do is that people do have analogies, things where you remove certain things and then you talk through and there's aha, and then they can add things back. So what I want to do is talk about those four domains of the military spoof people. So again, I've had it's not imposter syndrome. I had a really small, minor military training. So it's a period of time, and it's one of those things that you may not be the best, but you are. You're what Australia's putting out there on the front line. You mightn't be the best. You mightn't. There's maybe better people than you, but you're there to do a job. And so, therefore, I'm just sort of fallen into looking at it. However, there are these people who you go into their home and they wear camouflage jackets about the places. They have knives and gun collections, and they tell war stories about wars they haven't been in. And they are truly, they're benign, but they're technically imposters. And so in that situation, and they have a series of things which fit the imposter scenario. Now, they fit these things. There's sort of not like a it's not like a court of law. You're an imposter, therefore. There's this very clunky way of thinking in which people use it to engage, to have power over other people. They say, well, you're this, they put people, it's a real power relationship. Let's see what the, I might be back home before my wife leaves. Falconbridge, look at this, right through the mountains. And look, I can't even remember. This is really tough for me. I'm driving and I'm going through here, and because I'm focusing, I'm not taking in this. There's a whole series of villages, and I'm not taking in the order that I go through them. Just, I'm really aware, really, really aware of my cognitive problems here. But, you know, I don't think that, I'm beginning to feel that they're there. I've got to be aware of them. I've got to manage them. But other people have them, and they're unaware, and they don't manage it, and they manage it with sort of putting other people down. It's a pretty amazing situation. Okay, so you've got your military person, and the very first thing is that if you, they might be able to fire a rifle and act aggressively and do all the sort of comic strip stuff, but in a military way, they wouldn't perhaps be able to survive in the bush, camp somewhere, negotiate. Say if you were leaving a group of seven people, you wouldn't be able to work with their personalities, their needs, all the human aspect of it, and the boredom and the ability to translate, you know, all these really humble pie military things. Like, you'll be told to do something and it will be possibly technically impossible, and you'll do your best you can, and then come back and explain, well, look, I couldn't actually put an observation post on that knoll out there because it's completely exposed. But there is this other feature further back. You don't have a good view, but you've got a clear view, and it works. And then you explain it to the officer, and it goes through. Now, of course, that's the realistic stuff, whereas people are from are used to sort of playing sort of red Duna warfare, within a Duna, but they check their Duna up and have little troops over, and it's all yah. They would think it's a matter of military honour to just do everything as an order, there's a whole series of things which actually, in terms of the actual, this is mode one, the actual genuine application. They will not have the actual craft. Then they won't be able to spot things which have a problem. So similarly, like in quantum physics, there's certain things you wouldn't say. You wouldn't say this entire thing about a object hitting an impenetrable barrier and sometimes magically appearing on the other side. It's just like, there's a small probability that will, it's just, oh, that's so bad. But they will describe military things as, so besides not having the fundamental ability, they won't be able to pick things which are fundamentally wrong. That is, the idea that, I don't know, a commander will do something and it will have an effect like this, or it's, I'll describe World War II purely in terms of the views of the commanders and stuff like that. I can't put it together. It's only short. Then we have the domain three, which is models. So someone who's not good at quantum physics will take a model of an electron and say it's angular momentum, therefore it's a spinning top, and then draw it and never point it out and never yeah, we'll take a model and push it all the way through. And here, a military, in a military version, they would, I think I suppose in terms of models, I suppose the thing closest, I think, to it is how you drift in and drift out of the zone and you say goodbye to it. So in recruit, you don't know very much what's going on. You slowly pick things up after a couple of years, and then you say goodbye, and you're no longer relevant, because, partly because of the training has changed, and the situation has changed, and there are certain elements which are okay, and so there's this basic core of, and this is really strange. I would say that the military stuff is a complete empathy game. That is, that if you're not empathetic to the people that you're working with, you're not going to work as a team. And if you're not empathetic to the civilians and the enemy, and if you just don't have any of that empathy there, it's not going to work. And empathy is being able to take a model, not 100% of the model, but enough to see what's critical and what can be carried across. This is a sort of complex human process. And empathy there is this model empathy, or this sophisticated model intelligence is tends to be missing with the military people, in terms of that if someone doesn't follow an order or someone doesn't do something, you've got authorization to blat them away. Yeah, you can. It's sort of like out of the movies, and you see this really wooden military stuff there. So, look, and there have been a few, and I haven't spotted, there's some really big bosses in my life who've put on this military stuff. Pretty embarrassing where I haven't picked up, you know, I should have had all the warning signs. Now, the fourth domain is the visualization. There's model empathy, but there's also sort of a self-awareness and awareness of society around you to strategically integrate quantum physics with what you're doing. And so so you've got to realize it's a real, I suppose, soldier going back, that you train, and the first time it's not a glorious victory. The warrant officer comes over, says you've lost all your men, and this has happened, and stuff like that. And you, rather than go throw in the towel, oh, I'm not doing it anymore, you say, oh, well, I'm learning, I'm junior, I'll pick up some certain things, and you eventually improve, and then going on, you help other people improve, because you know that they're in that journey, the idea of people making mistakes and scrambling along and having this journey of understanding of improvement is not there in your military imposter. They come along and they are just got this natural ability. They are just naturally gifted soldiers, that they will tell you. You know, they came across and they were fierce, and that they talk about events, and they talk about certain things, sort of like whereas the actual speaking to actual veterans, they talk more about the process rather than events. And this is again in quantum physics. You hear them say certain things that if it doesn't make you feel giddy, you can't understand it. And it's clearly that people sort of, I don't know, it's a symptom in that people have really appalling descriptions written. These are amateur people, and they will give their amateur description to an imposter, and that imposter will flag it through, and you will often read appallingly incorrect descriptions, but the descriptions will have some character, they'll be incorrect, but they'll also have reference, imposter reference, to the person who approved it. And it's sort of like this other system of not understanding, but you have to invest in imposters. And I'm not saying that the imposter, yeah, well, it's essentially you have this scenario that these people, Warramu coming across here, almost home, I'll be home to have heaps of fun. So it's not a bad thing, but it's you've got this I suppose a fifth characteristic about, there's domains, but then there's a sign. This is a bad explanation coupled with a reference to an authority which should have, if it's a true reference, should have corrected them. And in that mode, if you sort of write to someone and say, oh, look, I should imagine, if I say, look, that explanation you gave there is incorrect. So in this case, this person has picked up this idea of alpha particles fired against golden nuclei, and occasionally one in a million will come backwards. And this is clearly a mistake. And he says that's an example of quantum tunneling. Now, this has got really nothing to do with it. But the same person has gone through and evoked the authority of imposter authority, saying that. And really, no quantum physicist has actually read through this process and been able to communicate with this person and saying, look, this is fundamentally wrong. If you get if you make an investment in reputation and, I've got a friend and there's an entire social structure, you get this feedback which really gels it up. And so, look, it's not a single process. And there's these social, what I experienced in terms of quantum explanation is similar to this thing about these military imposters, and you can't dislodge them because they have put such a, because they don't have their fundamentals, they don't have foundations, they have put such a investment that you can't dislodge them. So I don't think it's just an isolated problem of quantum physics. I think we've got many items of it, and it's part of the idea of fluid, rapidly changing knowledge. Where we have knowledge is actually a cultural construct, and cultures can't change, and it just is. There's a whole series of systems behind it. One is the cultural system, that is, I have a cultural construct. I have my society built on this knowledge. It's sort of like a foundation stone. I can't really say, I have to tell you this is a foundation stone of the entire pyramid. It just has to go because it's not right. And so people can't change it. So you can imagine back at the Aztecs going back, I know this is a strange thing, that they believed that the sun actually, like a rock, went through one path and secretly rolled through a tunnel around the horizon on the surface, roll, and came up the other end and began to go, whoops. I had no idea how on earth something could spin like that. And that led to a whole sequence of things and a culture being built up. And so it became a foundation idea, and you can't quite remove it. And so you've got this idea of cultural inertia. There's also social inertia in that you have a imposter imposter syndrome structure, system. And these people, if you look at it, the person with the imposter syndrome has got a knows the knowledge, but has been personally detached from it. Whereas the imposter is detached from the knowledge. So you've got this detachment fault line, which you can't shift. There's a social process that you can't shift it there. And however, what seems to be the sort of the fluid, the liquid, which actually allows this. So you've got social inertia and cultural inertia. This is a belief system and a social system locking things down. Seems to be these stories, which if you tell someone a story, you're able to actually move them. When you tell them a story, they're hearing, listening to a story, and part of the great thing about a story is that a story is a communal interpretation of the past, but it's also a pre-programming for future action. So if you tell everyone the same story, and you've got the same story in the head, and it's really important, I really strongly believe, if you tell someone the same story, the entire story will pre-program everyone, and given a situation you come up to, you will have a group of people, and the story will come to life, because enough people will see it, enough people will be able to it opens the communication pathways for change to happen. So I think we have we've got the cultural and social, and you really need a revolution eventually to break it. However, I sound a bit Marxist here. However, we can actually pick away on stories. Now, the entire process, the event here, a revolution is being able to break. A proper revolution is having a series of events. That is, I think they had a particular battleship in St. Petersburg that took in the October Revolution. It happened, a group of soldiers on that. There's a key event. And so people see a series of events happening. But then behind that, you had a series of processes happening, trying to work with the processes happening for it. They had the stories, the marvelous stories, and people will be very intense on building stories. So really, one can bring the stories forward. And this is to find models. So it's where people are not competent on models, but they are competent on other models. So it's not a dead wicket. It's sort of like you're playing cricket, and it's not a cricket for fast bowling. That's where you can bowl really fast at the body and get people to defend and knock off. The wicket is too slow. It's a turning wicket. You can actually throw in a few spin balls. And I think a series of things. I think quantum physicists in the Australian bush is a strange way forward, but also some stories of stories of a military thing that. Conceptually, when you look at stories and parables, they are the actual ancient equivalent of a PowerPoint. That is, all the concepts are stripped away and the actual dot points are put up there bit by bit, and the dot points aren't put up as dot points, they're put up as logical things that you can, I can accept those dot points, I can accept those dot points as a good parable. And so we really need the parable of the military person, the military imposter. But you've got to also be aware of socially charged terms. So if I say the word imposter, immediately that puts like there's certain terms. If I say, like look, there's clearly people, and clearly situations where you open it up. Oh, look, this is fraud, and the natural sequence of events doesn't happen. You've got something else happens. So there's this other sort of electrical, sort of electrified terms that you have to avoid. And you can say, look, the situation isn't optimal. But rather than saying the situation is evil, there's people to one point screaming to the government, we need to advance, we need to advance, give me money. And essentially, there's my son Rupert coming out of the house. Do you want a lift? He didn't say anything. He doesn't like that. Very quiet boy. So Fiona will be home, and I've made it home relatively quickly. So it's amazing how much... I just can't imagine what I'd be like to be behind, because I was a much slower driver earlier. But it's one big cognitive journey. So it's giving me a view, and... back home now. I hope you've enjoyed that. And it's taken 51 minutes of driving. Bloody hell. Right, bye.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.